Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome once again to Enigmatic Mysteries of the Unknown. We come to you now live from the middle of the Atlantic Ocean aboard the cargo ship CMA CGM Jorg Foster, bound for Newark, New Jersey. The weather is currently clear with some cloudy skies. Swell is a couple of feet, not too bad at the moment. A significant storm is scheduled for arrival by the evening, and I expect that's when I'll start painting the walls of my pathetically small cabin with fresh Pongy Sick. I suppose I should start at the beginning and try and get this all done before that bloody storm makes itself known. If you cast your minds to where I left you last time, things were looking bleak as shit with the radioactive cloud steadily moving itself deep into the western half of the continent. They didn't get any better. It went from shit to shittier to shittiest, and it's still getting worse. And now death tolls are coming in, and they're just horrific. Bodies are piling up, and everyone's starting to get more than a bit fidgety. Fortunately, I got the ants-in-my-pants syndrome before anyone else, and started making my preparations. Completely emptied out my bank account, and stuffed all the notes into a toiletry bag that's now in my rucksack that I never let out of my sight. Got a few weird and suspicious looks when they were counting out the money, at least I thought so. but it wasn't exactly a lot of money to begin with. Nevertheless, it was every single penny I had to my name. I had my few bags packed in a short time and was on my way before anyone started to wonder where I'd gone off to. I didn't tell a soul. Got the necessary trains down to Portsmouth. I'd been in touch with an old acquaintance who knew a bloke who worked on a cargo ship. The very cargo ship I'm currently on, actually. We made some arrangements. In Portsmouth, I met the acquaintance and paid him the 100 nicker we'd agreed on. Spent a night in a shitty hotel. Next morning at 4, I was at the specific quay and there was the bloke. I forked over the 500 quid, as we'd agreed on, and then he showed me to my tiny box of a cabin. He showed me where the bog or head was, where I could eat when I needed to, that I was to keep stumm and out of sight pretty much the whole fucking time. What he'd done was a very big no-no. If some of the crew saw me, it wouldn't be good, but it wouldn't be the end of the world. If the captain somehow saw me, the proverbial shit would hit the proverbial fan. Once I was delivered alive and sort of well to the great city of Newark, I would hand over the other £500. The only saving grace on this whole trip is that I have Wi-Fi, and I have the option to plug in and charge my iPad and phone. Otherwise, there's not really much else to do here. The relaxing voyage on this magnificent and mighty cargo ship will take 6 days. At the moment, we're on day 4. I've gotten a lot of reading done. Well, rereading, really. I loved James Herbert's books. A distinctly British flavour of horror, plus they always had lots of sex in them. As a teenager, and bear in mind this is pre-internet, or at least pre-free wonderful porn, it took work for me to find, enjoyment and satisfaction. Anyway, let's stop talking about what I like to get up to behind closed doors. All on iBooks, of course. I have to say, reading the third and final book of Herbert's Rats series, like Carrie for Stephen King, Herbert's first novel, The Rats, which was published in 1974, became a bestseller and launched his career. It's the terrifying novel of these giant rats that tried to take over London and have a taste for human flesh. He followed it up with a weaker sequel in Lair, and then there was Domain in 1984, a decade later. During the Cold War, when there were those who feared nuclear war could be imminent at the drop of a Soviet hat. The book is about nuclear war. The few that are left surviving in London, of course, try to put their lives back together in some form. And then they discover that the rats also survived, and some have been mutated and deformed by the radioactivity. It's a bleak story, obviously, but reading it now, with everything going on, a few times as I was reading, I find my cheeks wet with tears. I know I'm running away, a complete and utter coward. But you know what? I know right now there's an exodus of sorts going on as Western Europe tries to flee from that oncoming death cloud through whatever means they can manage. I'm sure the airports are a madhouse, every flight to anywhere far away overbooked, people begging for tickets, throwing money at others, trying to get out of there. And here I am, all safe and cushy. I suppose, now that I've dutifully informed you as to why I'm hiding out on this giant cargo vessel, I should explain why I'm headed for the east coast of the United States of America. No, it wasn't my only option. I chose it for a reason. And you know what? I'm going to wait a little bit before I tell you. Let's build some dramatic emphasis here on Enigmatic Mysteries of the Unknown. I've got bugger all else to do, and bucket loads of time. So let's talk a little bit about ostium then, though to be honest, I don't really feel like it with the current state of things, but it's why we're all here. And yes, that was a clue. I don't think I'm going to really address the episode specifically anymore. If you've followed everything with Emu so far, especially if you've been here from the beginning, then you know as much as I do, maybe even more. So today we'll have a bit of a brainstorming on what ostium might have been like before Mr. Jake Fisher found out about it and couldn't keep himself away. Imagine me attempting to invoke a David Attenborough voice here. We stand here on the brink of something new. It is a place unlike any other, a location you've never seen before. The mighty gates shine with a silvery sheen unknown to this world. We venture within, hesitant, nervous, perhaps a little afraid, but also excited. We see the creatures existing, living in their natural habitat. They go about their daily activities, passing through doors to other worlds. Within the blink of an eye, they travel across immense distances that boggle the mind. Vast chasms are crossed within a single bound. On these other worlds, they choose one item, one artifact that they deem important to themselves and their race. These artifacts are brought back one by one as they return via the doors through which they first entered. Each day a valuable collection is brought back to Ostium, and all convene in the sacred room before the map table. There they place their trinkets, their talismans upon the number belonging to their particular door passed through earlier. And thus the true ritual begins as a magical light rises up, encompassing the artifacts and turning the numbers gold. The ritual now completed, each member returns to their daily duties, preparing to conduct a similar journey on the following day.
So there you have one possible permutation of the original Ostium.
I'm sure I could envision another recreation or two of the place that Ostium once was, but none of it seems to ring true. It is apparent, and Jake made this point a number of times, that almost everything in Ostium had the appearance of something very old, possibly ancient. But be that as it may, Ostium also seems to have that ghost town feel to it. No, it's more of a Martian feel. The Mars of today. Empty, uninhabited, and barren. That's how Ostium feels. Obviously, someone or something created the town and all the buildings within it. And on some level, the trans-dimensional portals behind each door were orchestrated by some higher power. Yet Jake and Monica seem to be the first inhabitants, the first people to actually visit the town, akin to when the first person sets foot on Mars. At least that is the sense I get whenever I hear Ostium described by Jake, and now Monica. Alright, I think I've kept you anxiously waiting in suspense for long enough. The precise reason why I'm fleeing the giant oncoming radioactive death cloud in a massive cargo tanker bound for the eastern seaboard of America is because Jake sent me a message. I know. Holy shit. Right? And you know what? It was an audio message. So instead of you listening to me blather on any further, I'm just going to let you hear the message in its entirety. Enjoy.
Hello, Dave. You're looking well today. Sorry, Dave. I couldn't resist. I'm a real big nerd sometimes. I just can't help it. Also, it's great to talk to someone outside of Ostium. Sort of. Talk in the sense that I'm recording this message and sending it to you, and you'll presumably have some sort of response. Anyway, thanks for doing what you do. I never knew if anyone was actually listening to my recordings. I assume so. Hope so, I guess. But I never heard from anyone about Ostium, about my recordings, so I wasn't sure. And then I got your first email about when you found Ostium, what it meant to you, and what you were planning to do with Emu. And I received every email you sent after that. I listened to your podcast, too. It's impressive. I really enjoyed it. I also know what's happening over there in Europe. It's really fucking scary, to be honest. I'm scared. Terrified for everyone over there. I'm concerned about you. It doesn't seem like things are going to get any better. What are you going to do? Do you have any plans? Any ideas? I feel ridiculously safe and protected here in Ostium. I don't know if it's something you could manage in any way, but you're welcome to come here. To come to Ostium. I'm not going to tell Monica about any of this. Yet. She doesn't know anything about you. At least, I don't think she does. It's possible she's found your podcast and just hasn't told me anything. But I don't think so. And she doesn't have to know, for the time being. I don't know if you're still able to fly. I would think flight tickets are selling like hotcakes, and everyone wants one to get the heck out of Dodge. But if you can somehow swing it, you'd be welcome. And I'm sure once I explained it all to Monica, we'd be happy to have your company. You already seem well-versed on all things Ostium and what topics of this sort pertain to. Meaning, you're a conspiracy nut like us. 3 definitely wouldn't be a crowd in this case. So, let me know either way, whatever you choose or are able to do. If you're sort of stuck there or you've made the decision to stay there, I'll support you and help however I can. And I'll keep those Ostium recordings coming. And you keep doing what you're doing. It's great stuff, like I said. And I guess, see you on the other side.
And remember, the sleepers are awaking.